we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The reigning National Basketball Association champion Golden State Warriors are returning to the NBA Finals, as we hear now from the AP's Adam Spillane.
The Golden State Warriors are headed back to the NBA Finals for the fifth straight year after completing a sweep of the Western Conference Finals with a 119-117 overtime win over the Portland Trailblazers. Golden State overcame a 17-point second-half deficit just to get the game to overtime and had to dodge Damian Lillard's right corner three on the game's final possession.
A lot of people will look back at it and say, you know, they got swept, but, you know, we had a double-digit lead in the last three games and wasn't able to hold on to it. So I think we showed that we're capable of being here and competing at this level.
Stephen Curry led the Warriors with 37 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists, while Draymond Green added a triple-double of his own.
We knew if we wanted to have a chance to win that game that we was going to have to make a stand defensively, and that's what championship basketball is all about. May not be able to do it for 48 minutes, but if you can lock in most when it matters, we can live with those results. And we gave ourselves a chance and was able to pull it out.
Myers Leonard led the Blazers with 30. I'm Adam Spillane.
Thanks, Adam. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now, this marks the first time Portland reached the Western Conference Finals since 2000. When the Blazers were beaten by Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, and the Los Angeles Lakers, who would go on to win the trophy. Portland's head coach, Terry Stotts, reflects on the season after losing four straight games to Golden State.
It's a disappointing loss, but it was for me, it was an outstanding season with the guys in the locker room are special, and it's been a special season. It's always tough to lose the last game of the year, but I couldn't be more proud of the group that we've had.
And I know when it comes to pride, the Golden State Warriors have a lot of it after reaching their fifth consecutive NBA Finals. The only other NBA team to advance to five NBA Finals in a row is the Boston Celtics, who hold the record for the longest consecutive NBA Finals appearance streak, with 10 appearances between 1957 and 1966. Golden State's five-time All-Star guard Klay Thompson had 17 points and 6 rebounds Monday night when the Warriors eliminated the Blazers. Klay has been a key player for Golden State over the past five seasons, and he looks back on the team's success.
All really felt like one big season, so it's hard to really differentiate each run. They've been unique in their own ways, but it just felt like one big old season lumped together for the last 5 years, and we wouldn't have it any other way.
Klay Thompson and the Warriors are bidding for their fourth NBA title in 5 years. They now await the winner of the Eastern Conference Finals, which feature the Milwaukee Bucks and the Toronto Raptors. Milwaukee currently leads the best-of-seven-game series, 2-1, with Game 4 later Tuesday night in Toronto, Canada. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Voice of America.
I heard the voice of America calling on my wavelength. A man was coming out of Frankfurt, Maine. I heard the voice of America calling on my wavelength.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Some of the star players in the NBA playoffs will also represent their national teams in the 2019 FIBA Basketball World Cup, which begins August 31st in China. The two-time defending champion, United States, is one of the big favorites for the gold medal. The Americans will be aiming for their sixth world title in China. They're grouped with Turkey, the Czech Republic, and Japan for the first round. The Tigers of Nigeria, meanwhile, are grouped with Russia, Argentina, and South Korea for the first round. To find out more about the preparations by the Tigers, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with a board member of the Nigeria Basketball Federation, Oni Afolabi.
I think right about now, the coaches, you know, the last time we spoke, I told you that the coaches and then the team manager and also federation members will be going all over the world to look for Nigerians who have played for us before or who are interested to play for Nigeria and are playing top flight basketball all over the world with special emphasis on Europe and America. So now some names have been penciled down, which will be ratified by the board and also the coaches after he must have submitted the names. But before then, on the part of the Nigerian Basketball Federation, we have arranged some friendlies, some graded friendlies against Canada and the Dominican Republic, which will take place in Quebec and Ontario. And then when we go for the final phase of the training in China, we will also be playing Montenegro and Poland. All these four countries I've mentioned, we also be playing at the World Cup. So this will be the best set of games and practice that any team in the world can always, or we always hope for.
Aside the grade A friendly matches arranged for the Tigers, when do you intend opening camp for the team to commence preparation for the FIBA World Cup?
The camp is going to start in July, which will give us a two-month window to prepare the boys and to add and subtract from the talents we have. And then the training will be in four phases. The first one we hold in Canada. The second one we hold in Dominican Republic. The third one we hold in Lagos, Nigeria, where plans are also being put in place to organize another set of friendlies with another World Cup-bound team, you know, to come to Lagos and then play the Tigers. And this will also give the home fans the opportunity of seeing their players don the national team jersey and then before getting out to China for the final phase where we have to play Poland and Montenegro.
Is the coaching crew in touch with the players, especially those who are plying their trade in the United States of America and Europe?
Most definitely. The coach in the person of Alex Nwora is based in the U.S., so we get reports from him probably fortnightly, and then we see his activities going around the U.S., watching prospective Nigerians and also watching their games to critically analyze what they can add to the national team going to the World Cup.
A Nigerian basketball referee, Kingsley Ojaburu, has been nominated to officiate in the FIBA World Cup in China and the Under-19 World Cup scheduled for Greece. What's the reaction of the Nigerian Basketball Federation to this nomination?
We are so excited about this. It shows that when given the right opportunity, Nigerians can also hold their heads high all over the world in any chosen field, and this time around, basketball officiating. This is not his first time. He's been at different Afrobasket in Africa. He's been to the Commonwealth Games. He's been to the World Cup in 2015 in Spain, and then getting nominated for another global event in China and Greece has shown his consistency and also shown the quality of referees that we have in this part of the world, and also the effort of the Nigerian Basketball Federation to organize, train and retrain our referees to be at par with their colleagues all over the world.
That's Oni Afolabi, a member of the Nigeria Basketball Federation and its media manager. And Oni spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African football news, Ghana's all-time leading goal scorer, Asamoah Gyan, has announced his international retirement ahead of next month's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Egypt. The 33-year-old Gyan is also the longtime captain of the Black Stars of Ghana. His decision comes as there are reports Andre Dede Ayew will wear the captain's armband for Ghana in Egypt. In a statement, Asamoah Gyan said, and I quote, "If the decision of the coach is to give captaincy of the team to another player while I am named in the team for the tournament, I wish to recuse myself from the tournament. I also wish to retire from the national team permanently." Gyan has not featured for the Black Stars since September 2017, after persistent injury problems, and he's also been fighting for minutes with his Turkish club, Kayserispor. Asamoah Gyan has scored 51 goals in 106 international appearances for Ghana, both national team records. The Black Stars of Ghana are in Group F at the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations, along with Benin, Guinea-Bissau, and defending champion Cameroon. This will be the first Nations Cup to have 24 teams, and it officially kicks off June 21st when Egypt will host Zimbabwe in Cairo. Meanwhile, two-time African Footballer of the Year, Mohamed Salah of Liverpool, headlines a provisional 25-man Nations Cup squad named by Egypt's Mexican coach, Javier Aguirre. The 60-year-old Aguirre also recalled striker Ahmed Ali after an 8-year absence. He last played for the Pharaohs in June 2011 in a Nations Cup qualifying match against South Africa. The recall is a nice 33rd birthday present for Ahmed Ali, who was born May 21st, 1986. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Ahmed Ali. Ahmed Ali is currently the leading scorer in Egypt's top flight league with 18 goals for Arab Contractors. Following the match against Zimbabwe on June 21st, Egypt will play the Democratic Republic of Congo on June 26th and Uganda on June 30th. All three Nations Cup matches will be played at Cairo International Stadium in the Egyptian capital. The stadium will also be the venue for the Nations Cup final on July 19th. With a record 7 Nations Cup trophies, the Pharaohs of Egypt are considered one of the favorites at the African football showpiece. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more Nations Cup news, South Africa's head coach, Stuart Baxter, has named a 30-player provisional squad for Egypt 2019. Now, Coach Baxter is hoping to add 2 more South Africa-born players, Crystal Palace youth team player Nicola Tavares and FC Zurich defender Joel Untersee, if they are issued with their passports. The 20-year-old Tavares currently has a Croatian passport, while the 25-year-old Untersee has a Swiss passport. Coach Baxter says he's planning to go to South Africa's Home Affairs Ministry to see if he can speed up the process. His provisional squad includes 7 players from South African champion Mamelodi Sundowns and 3 from runners-up Orlando Pirates. Coach Baxter will need to reduce his team to 23 players by June 11th, which is the deadline for Nations Cup team rosters. South Africa is in Group D for the Nations Cup, along with Morocco, Ivory Coast, and Namibia. South Africa will face Ivory Coast in its opening match June 24th at the Al Salam Stadium in Cairo. Let's take a break now for these Voice of America programming announcements.
Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you Wednesday night at 18:30 UTC GMT with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The auto racing world is mourning the death of a legendary Austrian driver. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Hi, Gwen.
Hey there, Sonny. 3 times Formula One champion Niki Lauda died on Monday, just months after undergoing a lung transplant. Lauda is regarded as one of the finest racers of all time, winning the world title twice for Ferrari in 1975 and 1977, and again for McLaren in 1984. Following his career as a race car driver, he became an airline entrepreneur and turned Lauda Air into a successful international carrier. He later returned to Formula One in management roles with Ferrari and Mercedes. In 2016, Lauda was awarded with the Laureus Lifetime Achievement Award, and the world champion dedicated his award to a very special group.
I want to say one thing. I've seen a lot of people here winning and losing. So I'd like to dedicate this award to the losers. Because I tell you from my own experience, winning is one thing, but out of losing, I always learned more for the future.
Austrian President Alexander van der Bellen paid tribute to Lauda, saying he was a man who had shown, like no one else besides him, how far courage, heart, and a clear mind can get you. The president went on to say Niki Lauda was and will always be an inspiration for all of us. On Tuesday, Mercedes team principal Toto Wolff released a statement that read in part, Lauda's passing leaves a void in Formula One. We haven't just lost a hero who staged the most remarkable comeback ever seen, but also a man who brought precious clarity and candor to modern Formula One. He will be greatly missed as our voice of common sense. Our Mercedes team has lost a guiding light. In their tribute, McLaren said, Niki will forever be in our hearts and enshrined in our history. Lauda's death comes just days before the Monaco Grand Prix, considered the jewel of the circuit's racing calendar. Niki Lauda was 70 years old. Over the weekend, former Formula One world champion Fernando Alonso failed to qualify for McLaren in the upcoming Indianapolis 500. In his attempt to seal motorsport's triple crown, the 2-time Formula One world champion was edged out by underdog Kyle Kaiser for the final spot. But Alonso said despite the disappointing loss, he will return.
Well, I think it's one of the most important races in motorsport calendar. So, yeah, after winning different series and different categories, this one is tempting for me to come back and try one to be at the front. And yeah, this year was not possible. So maybe in the future.
McLaren has offered to buy Alonso a seat in the Indy 500, but he declined, saying it would make him uncomfortable to replace a driver who had earned his spot in the race. Meanwhile, Simon Pagenaud earned his place in history as the first Frenchman to take the Indy 500 pole in 100 years. Pagenaud's career seemed to take a downturn after he won the Indy Championship in 2016, but on Sunday, he could not hide his excitement at once again sealing a place among IndyCar's elite.
The Tim and Arts team and Tim Penske has been phenomenal at giving me the best equipment. I can't thank them enough and my teammates for always pushing me to the limits, and all the engineers worked really well to be able to do that. But this is incredible. This is the biggest race in the world, so obviously I'm on cloud nine.
Pagenaud will attempt to become the 18th Indy 500 winner for Team Penske. He will be joined by Ed Carpenter and Spencer Pigeot inside the front row when the drivers start their engines at the Indianapolis 500 on Sunday. More sporty news to come. Sonny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Gwen mentioned Niki Lauda's remarkable and courageous comeback. Lauda was seriously injured in a crash at the 1976 German Grand Prix, during which his Ferrari burst into flames. Niki Lauda came close to death after inhaling hot toxic fumes and suffering severe burns. However, Lauda survived and recovered to race again just 6 weeks later at the Italian Grand Prix. And although he narrowly lost the F1 world title to James Hunt that year, Niki Lauda won his second Ferrari crown in 1977 during his final season with the team. Three-time Formula One World Drivers Champion Niki Lauda, dead at the age of 70. In African athletics, the Kenyan Hellen Obiri will be part of what's being described as the greatest field of women distance runners ever assembled on U.S. soil. Hellen and some of those other great distance runners will step to the starting line for the Prefontaine Classic 3,000 meters women's race when the IAAF Diamond League meet heads to Stanford, California next month on June 30th. Hellen Obiri is the reigning world 5,000 meters and women's cross-country champion. She'll be making her sixth appearance at the Prefontaine Classic, which is named for the late great runner Steve Prefontaine. Now, this meet in Stanford, California will also include South Africa's Caster Semenya, who has been in the news recently after being banned from the shorter distance races, the 800 meters in particular, because of high testosterone level. Caster lost her appeal at the Court of Arbitration for Sport. But right now, Caster Semenya is scheduled to race at 3,000 meters here in the United States at the Prefontaine Classic meet. And that wraps up the May 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Mr. Chang. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, across the United States are numerous African diaspora associations. Many strive to preserve their culture or have advocacy goals. the role of the African diaspora in the United States.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
The moon has two faces, the near and the far side, with each side looking much different from the other. The near side, always facing toward us, features a number of dark areas called marias across its surface. The far side doesn't have as many of these marias, but is much more heavily cratered. Scientists have found that the far side's crust is also thicker than the near side of the moon. A new study published in the Journal of Geophysical Research, Planets, suggests a reason for these differences. Using data from NASA's GRAIL mission, the researchers found evidence that a celestial body between 720 and 780 kilometers in diameter collided with the moon's near side during the early history of the solar system. The researchers theorized the impact blew away material from the moon's near side and buried the crust of the far side under about 5 to 10 kilometers of debris. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hi, this is Mario Ritter, and here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight. After days of violence in Khartoum, protest leaders ordered the removal of barricades around a sit-in site. Kenyan officials are once again calling for the closure of the Dadaab refugee camp, citing security concerns. Join us at 1600 UTC for these stories and all the latest developments right here on VOA Africa.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.